Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dark Revel by E.A. Copan, narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1. Grandpa's Louisville Slugger cracked against another zombie skull as it dipped low on the Ferris wheel. Rain matter splattered the seat and the plastic housing of the gondola. His body slumped over, fingers twitching.
"Home run! Out of the park!"
I mimicked the sound of a cheering crowd.
"And the crowd goes wild!"
A single gunshot barked in the distance over by the abandoned burger cafe. I shouldered the blood-stained bat and turned to call over my shoulder.
"Everything okay, baby?"
"Don't talk to me when I'm aiming,"
Emma shouted back. Her gun barked again, the shot creating a flash of light just long enough to give me a glimpse of her blood-splattered face. A zombie, which had just shambled out the door, jerked and went down.
"Headshot. That makes six in a row,"
Emma flashed a grin.
"Loser buys dinner."
"I'm at 7. Try to keep up, babe."
I winked and turned back to the Ferris wheel. Nothing like killing supernatural nasties with your super-hot girlfriend after dark. The next gondola held a live one. He growled, spat, and struggled against the seatbelt that held him in place, reaching for me. Well, live was a relative term with zombies. Technically, none of them were undead. That was the one thing the movies never quite got right about zombies. Oh, they were dead where it counted. No pulse, no breathing. But the brain didn't quit thanks to the spell that held them in its power, a spell only a necromancer could use. Seeing as how I was the only necromancer in New Orleans I knew of, and I hadn't made these guys, that meant... I wasn't sure what it meant just yet, only that it wasn't good. I'd deal with it once the zombies themselves were taken care of. I wiggled the bat on my shoulder, took aim, and swung it as hard as I could. It hit off-center with a loud crack, and his head slumped to the side, but he didn't stop trying to get to me. Damn, broke his neck. Not enough to put one of them down. I took another swing and caved in the face. That worked, but my bat got stuck. The gondola kept moving, pulling me along with it.
Hey, Em, a little help here.
Let go of the bat, Lazarus.
Her voice was closer. She must have finished with the zombies in the burger joint and come to poach mine. The nerve. I gave the bat a tug, but it was in there good.
Are you kidding? Hank Aaron signed this thing. I'll be damned if I'm going to let some zombie freak...
I grunted, still trying to pull it free. The edge of the platform loomed. A few more feet. Emma's soft body pressed against my back. Her hands shot out and gripped the bat below mine. With a well-timed yank from both of us, it popped free, leaving gooey red strings of gore dripping onto the metal loading platform.
You almost fell and broke your neck over an autographed bat. Are you crazy?
Certifiable. I dropped the bat and turned to kiss her. Call me crazy again.
Later.
Emma knelt to pick up the bat and thrust it at me.
There are still 2 more zombies.
I glanced back at the Ferris wheel on its slow spin. Bloodstains and bodies decorated most of the cars. The rest were empty. No more easy kills here. Emma's boots tapped against the metal stairs as she made her way down from the platform, moving her gun in both directions. There were moments I forgot she was a cop. Homicide detective who'd almost run me in when she thought I'd killed a girl. Funny how times change.
"Next time, bring something other than a bat, Laz,"
she said, lowering her gun.
"That thing's probably worth money. Or was before you coated it in zombie blood."
I put my hand on the railing and stepped down from the platform.
"Like what exactly?
Gun? Ex-con, Emma, remember? That means no guns without a governor's pardon, even in Louisiana."
"Whatever happened to your staff?"
"I'd broken it in hell when I went to rescue her. Well, the Egyptian version of hell. Too bad. I liked that staff. A dryad in the summer court had given it to me, and the thing was practically alive. It had been months, and I still hadn't found a suitable replacement, despite looking all over. I'd picked up all kinds of them, but nothing felt right in my hands." I shrugged. "I still need to replace it."
"Isn't it like your badge of office? Not a very proper death without a big stick."
I grinned and picked a tooth out of the end of my bat.
"Hey, you didn't have any complaints about the stick last night."
Emma raised an eyebrow.
"Really? You're going to turn this into a dick joke?"
You walked into it. Besides, I'm really 3 12-year-old boys in a trench coat. Or hadn't you noticed? She lifted her gun and fired it into the dark. A zombie stopped mid-shamble and fell over, sans ahead.
8. We're all tied up.
Shit. One zombie left somewhere in a giant abandoned theme park, and if I didn't find it, I'd have to buy her dinner, probably at that sushi place she liked again. If I had to eat another bowl of rice-covered seaweed with raw fish, I'd throw myself into the Mississippi. I was getting a hamburger, and that was that. But first, I had to find the last zombie. An old wooden roller coaster creaked as we walked by it. I paused, glancing up into the beams in search of my last kill. No zombies in sight, but the old Zydeco Scream was the tallest ride here. If I climbed to the top, I'd be able to spot him for sure. Unfortunately, those old beams weren't in good condition. Katrina had swept in and wrecked most of the old Six Flags. With high floodwaters and years of neglect, chances were good that the support beams were rotten. They might not hold my weight.
You're not thinking of climbing up that thing, Emma said. It's a death trap.
I shrugged. You got any better ideas about how to find the missing zombie?
What about your magic? Can't you... You know...
She waved her hands. I shook my head. Not zombies. They don't register as dead. All I'd get is a general sense of direction, and he'd be able to sense me back. He being whoever created the zombies. I was trying not to think too hard about that until after we'd dealt with the immediate threat. So far, I was counting on him not knowing who he was screwing with. I could hunt him down and take him by surprise. If I were just another necromancer, it'd be a tough fight, pitting magic against magic. I didn't want to wade through hordes of zombies and ghosts just to get to the guy. But as the Pale Horseman, one of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, I had the edge. I could rip out his soul, and he'd never see me coming. Emma frowned and clicked on her flashlight, flashing it up into the beams.
I think I see a viable way up, but I don't know. Don't break your neck, Laz.
I gave her a quick peck on the lips. Be right back. Planks of old, stained wood lined the side of the roller coaster, just far enough that they could serve as a ladder. I gripped the highest rung I could reach and tried it. Solid. Next, I tried the highest one I could get my foot on. It gave under my weight with a loud crack, but the next one down held. Just to be sure, I stayed there a minute, making sure it would hold me. When I was certain, I climbed up. At its highest point, the Zydeco Scream was over 100 feet tall. My aim wasn't to reach that point, but the bottom of a loop. From there, I could look out over the theme park and try to spot movement. We had to get the last zombie before it left the theme park and got into the population, or there'd be mass panic and paperwork. Emma didn't want to deal with the paperwork, and I'd do anything to keep her happy. Anything except eat one more tuna roll. Once I got halfway up, the wind pulled at me. I started to regret the climb. As a kid, I'd climbed my fair share of trees and rooftops. I wasn't afraid of heights, not in the least. Still, a 2-story house was a far cry from a 100-foot hurricane-damaged roller coaster. Keep it together, Laz. You've been to hell and back. You survived the walk of punishment in Naraka and killed the devil and a handful of gods. You rode a bloodthirsty unicorn into battle against a titan and came out okay. You can climb a giant wooden ladder. I threw my hand up to grip the next beam, and it crumbled in my hand. The sudden lack of something to hold on to sent me scrambling, and I momentarily lost my balance, tipping backward. Flailing, I tried to grab onto a beam, but tipped back too far. My foot hooked on the beam as I fell, and the world turned upside down. So there I was, dangling upside down from the frame of a rotten roller coaster, 60 feet in the air, with the wind in my ears and my coat flapping in my face. That was when the last zombie shambled onto the main thoroughfare below. He was a big guy, too, easily 400 pounds of pissed-off, mindless hunger dressed in a white tank top, 2 sizes too small, and baggy sweats. He stumbled toward Emma. She had her back to him, staring wide-eyed up at me. Behind you, I tried to call, but the board holding my foot cracked. It didn't give completely, but I was on borrowed time. If I didn't want to be a smear on the ground below, I'd have to get upright. I'm not a gym rat. I do one sit-up a day, half when I get up in the morning, and the other half when I lie down. 90% of my cardio came from outrunning things trying to kill me, but I wasn't much of a runner either. I was just a skinny necromancer with a slight beer gut and a butt that didn't look half bad in dad jeans. Great for Netflix and chill, not so great for upside-down sit-up 60 feet in the air. I grunted and tried to pull myself up enough to grab one of the wooden rails, but the beam cracked, and I fell through. My foot hit the next one, which also broke, as did the next. Somehow that got me turned around, and my face hit the wooden rail, cracking it with my chin. I slid down the side of the roller coaster face first, watching the ground quickly get closer. Meanwhile, the ginormous zombie grabbed Emma's shoulder and crushed it under his oversized hand. She tried to turn and raise her gun, but he flung her to the ground where she'd be zombie chow. In a panic, I flung out a tendril of unfocused necromantic magic, aiming for the zombie. It hit him, and he staggered back. The magic pulled at me, drawing me further away from the roller coaster while I wrestled for control. Please work. My skin prickled as another presence awoke in the mind I was grappling with, this one belonging to the zombie's creator. I expected it to fight me, to try and keep control of the creature, but instead I got the distinct feeling the other necromancer was smirking at me. His mind withdrew from the zombie and let mine slide into place. The zombie threw himself forward, arms outstretched to catch me. I landed in his arms with a loud thump. The sudden stop hurt like hell, but at least I wasn't dead. Emma's gun barked and the zombie's head exploded all over me. I fell the last few feet to the ground while the zombie toppled over, but hitting the ground was the least of my worries. Agony exploded inside my head like a lightning strike. I swore I felt flesh rip and bone shatter. My brain seemed to bounce and turn itself inside out. My body jerked and my lungs froze. Sudden nausea made my stomach surge. I gagged on something bubbling out of my mouth. When I tried to swallow, I found I couldn't move. I couldn't even blink. Laz! Emma knelt beside me, putting the gun on the ground. She tore open my coat and pushed up my shirt. Her ear went to my chest and stayed there for a moment of tense silence. With a snap of magic power, my soul was forced out my body, and I found myself standing over my body while Emma started CPR. I glanced around, looking for my Reaper. In the past, when I died, they usually appeared and whisked me away to somewhere private. We'd chat, and I'd somehow convince them to send me back. My heart sank as I realized no one was there. Damn it, I'd been meaning to meet my new Reaper. Maybe the gods hadn't gotten around to assigning me one yet. That thought was terrifying. Without a Reaper, I might be trapped on Earth forever, doomed to become a restless spirit. Worse, I might not get to go back into my body. Come on, Emma, I whispered. It's up to you now. She tilted back my head, cleared my airway, and gave my body a few rescue breaths. Shit, this was bad. Really bad. Not at all how I planned to go. What the hell had even happened? It felt like a psychic attack, but that couldn't be. I had my mental shields up. No one should have been able to get past them. A shadow shifted at the edge of my vision. I spun around in time to see it turn away and dart into the night. Whatever power had been holding onto my body went with him, and my soul snapped back into my body. With a pained gasp, I drew air into my lungs and blinked before pushing myself onto my side to throw up. God, Laz, I thought I'd lost you. Emma pushed some of my hair aside while I spat. What happened?
I don't know,
I wheezed, and turned my head to look at the spot where I'd seen the shadowy figure. Whoever he was long gone. Chapter 2 Emma helped me back to her black Escalade. I could stand on my own, but the CPR had done a number on my chest. I'd be sporting a bruise come morning. A normal person would go to the emergency room after dying, but I didn't have insurance, nor did I have a way to explain what happened yet. I had my theories, but they'd have to wait. Baron Samedi, my boss,
was waiting by Emma's SUV, leaning on his skull-head cane. He was a tall, thin black man with bony features and bright eyes. Normally, he dressed in purple suits and matching slacks, but that evening he'd chosen a rust-colored outfit. He removed his top hat.
"Did you get them?"
I nodded. "All 17 zombies are dead."
"Good."
Samity replaced his hat and tucked his cane into his elbow.
"I'll see to the remains."
Emma pulled open the passenger door and stuffed me inside. "Make sure missing persons can find and identify the remains with DNA. Those families deserve some closure."
"Speaking of closure," I rubbed my chest. "Any idea who rose them in the first place?"
The Baron shook his head. Whoever had done it was likely the same person behind the psychic attack that nearly did me in. He'd been working on zombifying those 17 people for at least a month, since that was the oldest matching missing persons report. The victims had seemed random, unconnected by anything that either Emma or I could identify. The one thing I knew about the man behind the magic was that he was a necromancer, which should have made him easier to find. Not many necromancers in New Orleans. The witch community thought that kind of black magic was bad business. I'd been shunned ever since I came into my powers. At least this guy wouldn't have any allies here either.
"Whoever he is, he's still out there."
Emma checked the ammo in her gun and tucked it back into her holster.
"And there are more missing people. Reports spiked 6 months ago and haven't let up since."
In a tourist city the size of New Orleans, missing people weren't unheard of. People got drunk and fell into the river or wandered into the bayou to get eaten by gators. Some people just disappeared for natural reasons. It was usually impossible to tell them apart from those who disappeared for supernatural reasons until it was too late. I could use a finding spell to help the cops if they'd have let me, but I was lying low since I was dating a cop. I didn't want to put Emma's career at risk. A couple of detectives were being hard asses about her dating a felon. The only reason we'd found the zombies was because we got a tip. Someone texted Emma directly with where to find them and how many there were. We didn't know who that lead was either. It felt like someone was messing with us, but we couldn't just ignore zombies on the loose. I unscrewed the cap on the water bottle sitting in the cup holder and chugged half of it.
"He was here."
"What?"
Emma crossed her arms.
"Yeah, what happened earlier wasn't random. He hit me with a wallop of magic that somehow sailed straight through my mental shields. Some kind of curse. I shouldn't have come back from it."
Samity stroked his chin with two fingers.
"The horseman mantle should have protected you from an assault. It makes your magic stronger."
"What are you saying, exactly?" Emma asked.
I met Samity's bloodshot eyes. "He's saying whoever did this is at least as strong as me, if not stronger." Emma chewed on her bottom lip a moment before asking,
"So are we dealing with another horseman? Famine?"
"No," I shook my head. "It wasn't Beth or Felicia. The shadow didn't look like Haru either, and this isn't Haru's style." I chugged more of the water, creating an excuse to be silent a moment. There were other mantles in the world. I'd been the Sandman for a bit, and I knew there was a devil mantle for the ruler of Sheol. There were also gods and angels out there, the latter of which Emma didn't know about yet. Any of them could match my power. If it was another Titan, he could beat me easily. But Titans fed on magic. They didn't raise the dead, and they didn't waste their time toying with people. Titans killed without hesitation. Whoever this other necromancer was, he'd released his curse on purpose. He didn't want me dead, but he wanted me to know he could kill me. Why?
"It's not a horseman," I said. "It's not anyone with any kind of mantle, I don't think. The man controlling the last zombie, he felt human. I don't know how to explain it, but he was familiar, like I knew him."
The Baron leaned forward on his cane.
"Do you know of any other necromancers, Lazarus?"
"It's not like there's a guild or anything, Samity. No. If I could guess even remotely at who was behind this, I'd tell you. Believe me."
He pursed his lips and grunted before lifting his cane.
"Well, I have work to do, Ms. Knight."
He tugged on the brim of his top hat.
"I will ensure your officers find the remains. However, there's no way to leave them without making it suspicious in some way. I foresee a busy few weeks ahead for the homicide department.
Emma sighed. Tell me something I don't know.
After Samity swaggered into the abandoned park, Emma got into the Escalade, and we drove across town to pick up my daughter from the sitter. Nate Frieder was the night shift coroner for New Orleans Parish, and it was a few hours past the beginning of his shift, which meant his wife, Leah, was watching Remy. They lived in a little two-story yellow house with red shutters near the lake. It looked like a house straight out of a children's storybook. I knew something was wrong when we pulled up and found Leah's Kia missing. The front door was wide open, and the doorknob lay in pieces on the ground. I threw open the door and was halfway up the walk before Emma got the Escalade stopped. The front room was even more of a mess, with overturned furniture, blankets tossed in piles, and a broken vase on the floor. "Remy! Leah!" Cold panic gripped my chest, and I rushed for the stairs, pulling magic into my fist. "Leah!" Silence answered me. Emma slid through the front door, her gun drawn and pointed at the floor. She met my eyes and gestured for the stairs, then toward the kitchen, silent for, "You check the upstairs, I'll clear the kitchen." I nodded and climbed the stairs, trying to keep my emotions in check. If anything happened to either of them, I'd never forgive myself. Damn it, nothing supernaturally bad should have been able to get in. I talked Leah into letting me put up some wards around the property. I should have known about it if anyone but me crossed them while Remy was there, yet I hadn't been alerted. Either whoever had done this wasn't supernatural, or something even worse was going on. The carpet sloshed under my foot. My breath froze as I looked down and realized I stood in a puddle of blood, enough to soak the carpet. A muffled groan made me turn my head. The blood trail led to a closed door, the linen closet. I gripped the doorknob and pulled. Leah rolled out, her wrists and ankles bound with plastic zip ties. Someone had stuffed a dirty sock halfway down her throat as a gag, but that wasn't the worst of it. Shiny red blood glistened on her chest. "Call a squad!" I shouted and dropped to my knees. "Hurry!" Emma's footsteps thundered up the stairs behind me. "Jesus, it's Leah. Call them, Em!" I yanked the sock out of her mouth and put my hands over the bleeding wound in Leah's chest and tried not to let myself think about what might have happened to Leah and Nate's baby girl, let alone Remy. Emma put the phone to her ear and relayed the situation to dispatch. Leah's eyes fluttered open.
"Don't hurt her, please."
"EMS is on the way. Don't talk. You're going to be okay." I added more pressure. She was bleeding everywhere. How could she have lost so much blood and still be conscious? She blinked, letting tears fall.
"Don't hurt my baby."
I gritted my teeth. "Where is she, Leah? Where are Remy and Jessica?" Whatever Leah mumbled in response was incomprehensible. She slipped into unconsciousness. "Emma," I twisted, giving her a pleading look. "Find them." She nodded once, raised her gun, pointed it down the hall, and went to search the nursery. "What if she's gone?" I squeezed my eyes shut. What kind of monster would hurt unarmed women and children? I hoped it was a literal monster. When I found out whoever was responsible for this, I would take my time killing them. If Remy was hurt... No, that wasn't possible. I couldn't even let myself entertain the thought. My daughter had to be alive, wherever she was. Emma came out and ducked into the second bedroom quickly before returning. She tucked her gun away.
"They're not here."
I stared at her, trying to process what she just said.
"What do you mean?" "I mean the kids aren't here, Laz. Someone took them."
Chapter 3 An ambulance came for Leah, and the cops came to talk to me. Somehow I'd found my way down to the kitchen table and sat with my head in my hands, trying not to snap at the police. "When was the last time you saw your daughter, Mr. Kerrigan?" He looked up from the notes he was writing. "After dinner," I said in a monotone. "We went out to catch one of the parades, and then all six of us went to dinner." "All six?" "Me, Emma, and Remy, plus Nate, Leah, and Jessica." I lowered my hands. "Do we have to do this now?
Shouldn't you be out looking for her, putting out a bolo or whatever on Leah's Kia? Try not to panic, Mr. Kerrigan. He scribbled something in his notebook. I balled up a fist and struck the table hard enough it made the glass of water in front of me jump. Try not to panic? Are you shitting me? My daughter's missing. My best friend's wife could be dead. Their kid is gone, too, and you want me to calm down? I pushed up from the table. Let me tell you something, buddy.
Sit down, Lazarus.
A tall guy with slick hair in a suit muscled his way into the room and flashed a badge at the officer.
We'll take it from here, officer.
Detective Drake, I said through clenched teeth as I sat. Just who I didn't want to see. Didn't realize this was your beat.
Special case. Now let's start from the top.
He clicked a pen, licked a finger, and flipped open a notebook of his own, thumbing through the pages.
You said you went to dinner, but you and Detective Knight went off on your own afterward, huh? Dumped your kid on your friend's wife? Why? Go out to party? Bourbon Street?
Do I look like a fucking tourist, Brad?
I hear you like the bottle. Files say your old man did, too. What else do you two have in common?
He lowered the notebook.
Right. You both have a record. Violent records, if I recall. You ever hit a woman?
No, but I'll make an exception in your case. I stood up fast enough that the chair toppled over behind me. Drake's eyes widened and his arms tensed. His eyes snapped to my clenched fists resting on the table and back to my face.
Where did you and Detective Knight go?
For a walk by the river.
And she'll vouch for your whereabouts under oath.
Ask her yourself. I grabbed my coat from the back of the chair. I'm done letting you bust my balls. Detective Drake stepped in my way.
Maybe you'd be more comfortable talking about this downtown in a very small room. That's enough, Brad.
Emma stopped in the doorway and crossed her arms.
I was with him all night. I called it in. You want to grill someone? I'm right here.
Drake clicked his pen and turned.
You know the DA can poke holes in that kind of alibi like Swiss cheese, Knight. If I don't get the details and that kid turns up floating in the river tomorrow morning...
He never saw the slap coming, but from the loud crack of her palm against his cheek, he felt it. Drake's head jerked to the side, eyes wide. Every muttering voice in the house went silent. Drake's partner, Detective Cody, leaned in from the stairway to survey the scene.
You just assaulted a police officer, Drake sneered.
Emma raised her chin.
Fine, run me in. Then, when I tell my side of things to the chief, I'll get the chance to tell him about all the harassment and inappropriate comments that have come out of your mouth the last few months.
He rubbed his face and stared at her.
Or you can pull your head out of your ass and we can do some real police work and save lives. That is what you signed up to do, isn't it, Detective?
Before Drake could answer, every police radio in the room kicked on, dispatch relaying the same message. All units be advised. White Kia Optima plates Adam Henry Robin 15-7 has been located at Magazine and Cadiz Streets. Leah's car. They'd found it just up the street from my office. Why there? I shrugged on my coat. Don't just stand there. Someone find out if the kids are there. Emma grabbed a radio from one of the nearby cops.
Dispatch, who's responding?
This is Officer Gordon, came the crackly voice of another cop over the radio. Who's this?
This is Detective Emma Knight. There are two missing infants connected to that car, Gordon. Tell me they're in the back seat.
Negative, Detective. I don't see any...
There was a sound, a booming, crackling sound like fireworks going off, and then the radio died. Emma hit the talk button on her radio frantically.
Officer Gordon! Gordon!
Other voices quickly drowned her out, shouting over the radio.
Officer down! Officer down! Explosion! The fucking car exploded! Dispatch, get the fire trucks out here now and get the fucking bomb squad!
Emma lowered the radio and met my eyes.
I'm sure the kids weren't in the car, Laz.
I barely heard her. My whole head felt like I was underwater. I needed to get there, see for myself, just in case. Numbly, I staggered past Detective Drake.
Just where do you think you're going?
His hand clamped down on my shoulder. I spun around on him without thinking and punched him right in the jaw, realizing too late that it was a mistake. Drake teetered like a tree and fell to the floor, dead weight.
The house sprang to life with officers everywhere scrambling to tell me to keep my hands where they could see them. Shit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?